to be able to have a Senate position, so that conference committee chairs would be in a better position to work through their conference committee issues. Many of you, and I'm making reference to the division chairman who are now chairing conference committees, aren't in that situation. There are a couple of chairmen who find themselves in that situation, so we wanted to make sure that we took care of this as early as possible, so we wouldn't hold up conference committees. We have a couple of bills of Senator Gerlach. Senator, why don't we start with Senate File 1889? And Senator Betzel moves adoption.
The division report.
Okay. On the Bethel motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Senate File 1889 is a very simple and straightforward bill. Under current law, when the Attorney General settles a suit, if the settlement is less than $750,000, then the disbursement of those funds are decided in the Attorney General's office. And you may recall a little over, well, it was about a year ago, there was some press that the legislative auditor had looked at one of the settlements, and it was $749,999. So it just raised a red flag. And this bill simply says that, the $750,000 threshold just doesn't really need to be there, that it should be legislators that decide how state dollars are spent. And so we're just going to remove that $750,000 threshold and decide this through the regular appropriations process. So that's the bill, Mr. Chairman and members.
Senator Gerlach, is this a bill suggested by finance, by the Attorney General?
No, Mr. Chairman. I'll tell you, it was one that came down to my office from a member of the other body and said, hey, will you put this in? And it was one that caught my eye, that out of many that they sent me, that I decided to put in. It had some merit, I thought, and so we did that. I know you're probably not interested in the status of the other body, but it is, I'll just tell you so you know, it's part of their state government finance omnibus bill. It was accepted on the House floor on a voice vote with the chairman of that committee accepting it.
So what you're suggesting to us is, as a more recent member coming over from the House, because Senator Pappas and I came over from the House quite a while ago, you're still getting bills sent to you by your former colleagues?
Oh, I do quite a bit.
Yes?
I came over quite a while.
So, yeah, Senator Metz and I came over together. So, for instance, just hypothetically, if Representative Lucheski sent you a bill and say it was a big tax increase, would you just...
That would probably be one I would send back. In fact, I get quite a number of bills that that I don't submit. I look them over and look at for the ones that I think have some merit.
And Senator Betzel, Senator Higgins?
I'm thinking of several years ago, the Attorney General, for example, made an agreement on some milk price fixing shenanigans that were going on, and the agreement that he made was that the food shelves throughout the state got some number of hundreds of thousands of gallons of milk to be put to good use through the food shelves, and there wasn't a drop of it that went to waste. This would prohibit that kind of action, I believe, right, Senator Gerlach?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Higgins, I don't know. This refers to the dollar amount. I don't know that. I mean, it sounds like the milk settlement was kind of an in-kind type of thing. I don't know.
It was in place of a bunch of money.
Okay. It was in place of it, so that's what it was, kind of an in-kind type of thing. This is just simply the dollar amount, so I don't know the specific answer to your question. I'm just saying there's a difference between the commodity versus the dollar amount.
Okay.
And I would also add, Mr. Chairman, the Assistant Attorney General, one of them, did testify in the Budget Division and said that they have no opposition to this.
milk thing was very helpful, Mr. Chair, and it really helped a lot of folks in a really bad situation.
Further discussion, questions for Senator Gerlach? Anybody wish?
I'll move the bill.
Okay, Senator Bitzer moves that Senate File 1889 be recommended to pass.
Aye.
Aye.
I didn't call. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Roll call. Roll call?
Too late. Okay, next we have Senate File 1982, Senator Bitzer moves adoption of the vision report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. This bill deals with veterans' preference, and it's for the hiring preference. And I'll just give you a very quick snapshot of the policy so you understand what it is, and then we'll talk about the fiscal note, what was discussed in the budget division. Over the years, the veterans' preference that we have granted to veterans has been eroded. I don't know all the details of how the point system worked, the ins and the outs, but with the new resume screening system, the human resources systems and such, it's effectively canceled out some of the point systems, the advantage that we've given to veterans. And in fact, there was a Dewar report on March of this year that showed that the number of state employees who are veterans just in the last 4 or 5 years from 04 to 08 had dropped by 16%. And this bill here seeks to correct that trend and focuses on recent veterans since 9/11. And those veterans returning would have an interview preference. What we would do is we have negotiated and worked with the Department of Finance, MMB, on this, and come up with a solution. We amended the bill in the budget division to have it so that the top five recently separated veterans must be granted the interview. And this is a way that will make it affordable. The department, Commissioner Hansen himself testified on the bill in favor of the bill and said that the fiscal note, although looks substantial, it said it's spread out over all department agencies and that they would be able to absorb it so that it wouldn't have any kind of a serious impact. I didn't want to go over all of the details of the bill. Unless, I don't know if Senator Bickerman wanted to add anything. He's also been involved in these issues as well.
Mr. Chair, we talked about this yesterday, and we're ready to wrap up our bill, but there's confusion in the last minute on a couple articles. So this travels alone, and the House travels alone. Then we get accomplished with what both of us like.
Senator Gerlach, let me ask him. We've got a fiscal note that says that, you know, there is a not insignificant cost relative to this bill. You're indicating that the agencies are saying that they can absorb this. So I have a couple of questions. One, I'd like to, we should hear from somebody who will verify that. But as this hadn't hit me until we were listening to the bill. I hadn't thought about this beforehand, but although a lot of people weren't here, we had a bill of Senator Pappas's yesterday, which affected less people, I think, and there have been objections that the agencies can't absorb that. So I'm wondering what the difference is. Senator Pappas, obviously, Senator Gerlach, you're not a member of the committee, but so you weren't here, but Senator Pappas, what's the difference?
The administration wants this bill and doesn't want mine. I don't know.
Senator Berger?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I must say I feel just a little uncomfortable sort of messing around with veterans' preference. I mean, it's true that veterans returning today you know, need veterans' preference, but, you know, if you're an older vet, you're in your 50s and you've been laid off and you're looking for a job and, you know, you're going to be applying for jobs, should your veterans' preference not apply in that case? I mean, I guess I just feel more comfortable not changing myself.
Senator Grillo, this would not be, well, yes, it's not your concern. Yes, it is your concern, it's your mm-hmm. bill, but is there somebody who, from finance, management, budget, or admin, or somebody who'd like to testify?
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Pappas.
I testify, Senator Berglund. This is just for recently separated veterans after 9/11, so it's not for the old guys.
So, thank you.
Senator Cohen and members, my name is Judy Plant. I'm Assistant Commissioner at Minnesota Management and Budget, currently the Department of Finance. Statute. Let me speak to this bill, which the administration is in support of. The costs of the bill fall into three main categories. The first is the cost for the additional interviews, which from its original iteration, when it was broadly stated to be all veterans meeting the minimum calls would need to be interviewed. That was the onerous part. We have conferred with the agencies and brought that down to the top five, which first of all gives a better shot for those veterans to actually be considered for those positions, and also brings the cost within line. We did look at the data in terms of how many jobs were posted in calendar 2008, how many qualified veterans applied for those jobs and were interviewed for those jobs, and did some calculations based on what it would take to bring that number up to five per job if indeed there were five veterans who met minimum qualifications, following me there. And that is the part that breaks out across the agencies. Roughly, we looked at MNSCU and the cabinet agencies as having the bulk of those jobs, roughly split a third for MNSCU, two-thirds for state agencies. If we simply took the cost of the additional interviews and spread them out over those entities, it's about $5,000 per MNSCU campus and about $20,000 per cabinet agency. And so it's not an overly onerous cost distribution. The second part of the bill, which is the hearings, the option for a particular kind of hearing that veterans would be eligible for, that is a more costly part. However, that's similar to the kind of grievance hearings or other processes that employees have available now, and with the possibility of settlements that come out of those. We don't allocate or appropriate specifically for those activities at this time, and so that's the parallel here in terms of those activities. And the final smallest piece, very small, was the amount of dollars it takes to support the reporting process, and that's something we would just be doing. So that's the stance. Any other questions I can answer?
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Black. A couple of questions. You know, we had a fiscal note from the department that showed and what they said. So it was completed on April 24th, so not that long ago, a week ago or so, which reflects general fund costs of a little under $4 million for each of the biennium. What's happened between the preparation of this fiscal note and today?
As I said, it's looking at what are the impacts of those costs.
And I'm sorry, Ms. Planning, I misread the note. The general fund cost is only $1 million a year.
Correct.
Sorry, that's my mistake. So
correct. And again, out of that, roughly $500,000 is for those hearing costs. And again, as I said, those are similar costs to the kinds of grievance procedures and other things that currently state agencies just need to absorb the cost of. So there's a parallel to existing processes there.
would be variable in number, occurrence, and agency location. There is no way to estimate how costs would be incurred against agencies in the industry.
Correct. Those really are the reflection of in the possible instance that there's an issue with an employee who meets this veteran status, and if they chose to have this kind of hearing as opposed to a traditional grievance hearing. It really is sporadically, as in any employment situation, we have employees who aren't doing so well and we need to bring some sort of process with them. There's no way to predict where those are going to fall. There's no way to predict that now within any of our labor processes. So that's the unpredictable part. And
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I have never understood how departments decide that some things cost money. If you're conducting interviews for an open position, mm-hmm. and you, because of this bill, have to interview 5 more people, so what? It doesn't cost you anymore. You don't hire somebody extra to do that. Do that. You don't, you know, I don't think you all get paid overtime for, you know, doing any of this. You know, none of us does in the world we live in anymore, but it just doesn't cost anymore, and you know, maybe a stamp or two for some correspondence going back and forth, but
David,
I just never understood the concept of how things cost money. You know, when you've got a set salary, you've got a set number of people, and the work just has to be done.
Yeah, that's my speech.
Senator Coleman and Senator, there is an additional cost, and let me play this out in the scenario. There are positions for whom we will post an opening and receive, typically these days, hundreds of responses.
Yes.
Okay. So the first thing will be sorting through those applications to find the top candidates for interview, which is fine if those top candidates for interview include 5 veterans. If it doesn't, there will be an additional review to locate the next veterans on the list to pull them into the interview process. So there's some potential for additional time at that point. There are positions for whom it's entirely possible the top 5 applicants will all be veterans, and that's great. We have 5 interviews. There will be positions for whom it's possible the top 5 candidates will not be veterans and will be doing 10 interviews as a result of this requirement. So what we've tried to do is say, given those situations, given the volume of positions and the volume of interviews that we're doing now, if at least some of those are additional interviews, what's the impact across the system? I'm with you when I think about, well, it's only 5 and I only interview once a year, this is no big deal. When I'm looking system-wide across the volume of jobs that we have in the state, that's when it becomes a larger issue. I will say that the fiscal note was based on the premise that there were 5 additional interviews for each of those jobs. And so it's likely that in some of those jobs there will be no additional interviews because the veterans will be the 5 top candidates. So we have no way of knowing which ones those will be. We don't have enough data to pull out and say, when will we need to do 5 additional interviews on top of the other interviews we'd already be doing?
Remind me your last name. Plant. Tell me exactly what costs money to conduct an interview.
Plant.
Senator, committee, the cost is in staff time to do this.
But not getting paid anymore. Not getting paid overtime. So where's the cost?
If there's additional work and we don't have the staff to do it, and I will tell you most of the agencies are at extremely slim standards right now in terms of their HR and capacity. Somehow we need to accommodate that.
Chairman.
But Mr. Chair, Ms. Plant, it's likely you have a hiring freeze on, so you're not going to hire more people to do this.
And there are still jobs that are open and require filling because they are essential work of the state.
I just don't get it. My other job, if my boss says send out, you know, these demands to these other folks. I don't get paid anymore for that. You just absorb the work. You just do it, you know? Hearings don't cost extra because you already are doing hearings.
Senator Menson is very anxious.
Well, I've been on this thing for 10 years. I've been talking. Every time we ask a department with 1,400 people or 2,700 people to do a little something, we need 8 more people. We need 6 more people. Do it. Just do it. Do it with the money you have. You know what? If we tell you to do it, don't give you any money. You should do it. You've got how many people in the, is this administration?
This is system-wide.
This is system-wide.
Okay. How many people in this area of employees?
I would not want to hazard a guess. 30,000 some employees, and it affects managers who are conducting
but
the interviews.
It happens, Mr. Chair, all the time. If we ask somebody to do a little something, transportation, whatever it is, we need 3 million more, or 2 million more, or a million more. I don't know. I put Senator Higgins on this one. If we think this is a good idea, you guys should do it. And don't ask for $4 million bucks for the next 4 years.
I think of it, there's a certain point where the employee has enough on their plate and they have to hire someone new. But it's like that extra increment. Like in a classroom, if you have a limit of 30 students and, you know, 32 show up, all of a sudden, or 35 show up, you're in a position where you have to hire another teacher. But you don't know at what point you have kind of that tipping point where you have to roll into hiring another employee. And also I think in this case, other duties that the employee has just get delayed so they can do the interview process. They just have to put something on the back burner until they're done with that. So.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir Berlin.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to point out that in my budget, we have the bizarre situation of going on where parts of the agency are asking for increases so they don't have to lay off staff, like the Minnesota Sex Offender Program, for example. And then the agency is taking a cut where they're laying people off from the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. I mean, it is so bizarre that I mean, the whole thing this year is just so bizarre that I can't even begin to figure it out myself how one thing that we're doing relates to another thing that we're doing sometimes in the same bill.
Senator Foley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with what's been said before. It's a serious problem that we have with fiscal notes that no one seems to have any kind of idea as to what should be in there. But be that as it may, what I'm interested in, I thought I heard the administration talking about 9/11 and these would be targeted people that are being served. Or am I mistaken?
Mr. Chairman, I can speak to that, Senator Foley. When the bill started out, it was very, very broad, the original idea. So, you know, everybody, everything, and it couldn't be that. So some decisions had to be made, and the idea was we wanted to get at recent people who have recently separated from the military, reintegrating them back into the workforce. And so that was a date that was selected as a good point, because that's when, of course, a big ramp up of military folks came, and now they're separating and such. So it was a logical and a good point in which to say these are how we're going to define recently separated veterans. So that's kind of how that came from. And then as we went through and negotiating with the administration, trying to get a fiscal note that worked, it was, well, we can't do everybody, so how about if we, you know, tighten it up a little bit more and just say take the top, you know, 5. And so that's kind of where we've arrived at today and how that has been limited. Does that answer your question?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Gerlach, what it does answer a significant amount. I'm still concerned about targeting smaller cohorts, if you will, and not handling some others. It seems to me that when you arbitrarily say 9/11, you're cutting out veterans like myself, who was the World War II veteran, and I just maybe I need If I get laid off, I'd
say. And like myself, but I'll tell you, I wasn't World War II. But no, I hear you and I understand you, and it's Mr. Chairman and Senator Foley, it's some of the decisions that had to be made to get something in place to help as many people as we could facing the situation, the real situation we're facing now with all of these returning veterans at this point in time. And with all of the folks we talk to in the different organizations, this is where the most need is at this point in time, and that's why we really wanted to focus on this. But I understand, yes, there's a lot of arbitrary things in a lot of the bills we do, but we just have to use our best judgment and try to help as many as we can.
Thank you.
Senator Betzel.
Thank you. Members, just keep in mind, the bill was reviewed by the policy committee initially. The reason why the budget division forwarded this, there's no appropriation of this bill. There's no means to pay for this fiscal note, but Commissioner Hansen testified to the budget division. He said, because it cuts across all state agencies, will absorb it. Now, again, that gets back to the chair's question, why can they absorb this one when they can't absorb other ones? So whether the fiscal note is this one or a larger one or a smaller one, I guess is irrelevant as long as they said they're going to do it. Now, that doesn't get away from the policy questions that are being raised and so forth, but basically, if we adopt this, to both Senator Higgins and Senator Messon, we are telling the agencies, do it, and we don't care what the fiscal note says, as we have before for right now.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Thomasoni.
Chairman, to all those points about this fiscal note, if this fiscal note reads as if new people are going to be hired to do these interviews, and if that's not the case, then it reads as if the government means you're getting paid extra in order to do the interviews. So the other costs are more. That's what this looks like. One or the other, either somebody's getting paid extra or they're going to hire somebody to do it all. And if you know they're not hiring anybody, then in order to do this fiscal note, they must be paying somebody extra to do it, because that's how this thing reads. It looks like we need this amount of money in order to do these interviews because it'll cost this much money to do the interviews.
Senator, it really is about opportunity costs. It's about the time that's going to be devoted to this activity versus some other activity. And depending on what that other activity is, it there may at some point need to be some expenditure, but
it's phantom employees, Mr. Chairman.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Bickerman.
Well, Mr. Chair and members of this committee, look at the big picture. We lost four. Pick the paper up today. Four more soldiers got killed in Afghanistan just yesterday. This is a peanuts compared to what we need to help those veterans who come back here and put their life on the line so that we can be and work in this process. Don't forget the big picture. These veterans sacrificed everything to be over there, and some of them are not coming back. As I said before, four are not coming back, and that was just yesterday. Remember that.
Senator Pappas.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I actually think this is not this is the way fiscal notes are. We know that, is that they tell us what the cost of the activity is. And, you know, sometimes we say that, well, this is enough minimal cost that they should be able to absorb it, and that's what Commissioner Hansen has said. And sometimes we don't, and we say we have to come up with the money. So.
I guess what what concerns me, and I think I've been convinced by the testimony that agencies can absorb this, but it's a little bit of the picking and choosing that concerns me. And again, Senator Pappas, your bill yesterday was a little bit different than we passed your bill. But agencies suggest that some of those costs, which I think are more minimal, can't be absorbed. That concerns me when we kind of pick and choose as to what can be absorbed, what cannot be absorbed. And I don't know, excuse me, if there's a way to impose any consistency on that process. We've heard, and Ms. Plunt, this isn't directed towards yourself, this is kind of a comment over the years, that we've heard different testimony where, you know, the EBOs will put together a fiscal note that will suggest what the cost might be
in the pure sense, and then a particular agency can say, well, within our budget, we could absorb these X number of additional interviews. But then the next bill comes along where for policy or ideological reasons, there's disagreement. And then that's a cost that cannot be overcome. And so then we use the fiscal note process to not provide uniformity in terms of what cost might be, but the fiscal note process at times then lapses into or slides into an advocacy process in terms of what a particular issue is. And that's what concerns me. And I guess, Senator Betzold, you had requested that the bill be on the agenda because it's a issue in your conference committee, I believe.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. And apparently it's also in Senator Vickerman's conference committee, too.
Right, but I mentioned you, Senator Betzold, because you're the person who had brought the issue to my attention. And so we can certainly vote the bill out of the committee to the floor, allow a position for either conference committee to be articulated. But I can promise you, when the next bill comes up in committee or on the floor that has a similarity to it, I would hope this committee would adopt, this committee and this administration would adopt a single standard.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
I mean, in fairness, the EBOs gave us a fiscal note that cost $1.8 million and involves 12.6 FTEs. You know, I think it was Commissioner Hansen who said on behalf of all the agencies that this cost, because it's spread over all the agencies, could be absorbed. We don't really know agency by agency if they think it could be absorbed.
Senator Berlin.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think you're right, and I'll just give us an example. Remember when Senator Higgins had a bill that would have required health plans to provide interpreter services to people receiving health care services who did not speak English, and it had a fiscal note attached to it. And now we find out just a couple of years later that, you know, the state employee health care plan had surpluses in their fund, which meant they probably could have absorbed that, but oh my gosh, the fiscal note wouldn't allow that to happen. I mean, you know, I really do think that sometimes the fiscal note process is not fair.
And I'm not sure, Senator Berlin, it's the fiscal note process, because fiscal notes at the end of the day are advisory to us. But it's a question of the policymakers being consistent and maintaining, you know, that kind of consistency for one issue versus another issue. And Senator Gerlach, this is not a criticism of yourself or your bill. It's I think a larger issue in terms of what's been an ongoing process, and not with this administration, but with all administrations.
Mr. Chairman, if I can say it, in the process of putting this bill together, I've run into the same situation. We wanted to do more, but the fiscal note was going to be a problem. And so, you know, I mean, myself and some of the other legislators working on this wanted to say just absorb, you know, the greater part, but we had to kind of come down to a point. So I've kind of fought some of those battles as well.
Well, and like I said, I think it's not directed toward this administration. I think it's been an ongoing process. I kind of wonder, I shouldn't drag him into this, but I know his former Commissioner Goodnow is here. Now he's looking over here, because I wonder what happens if hypothetically, if I was to leave this position and go to an administration, would I then become defensive of the administration and all the rest of it? Or would I maintain my consistency? I don't know. So And Mr. Goodnow, you don't have to respond to that. I just use you as the hypothetical former commissioner sitting in the room. but I do think that when we deal with the fiscal notes, obviously, they're advisory to us, but I think I'm the part of an administration, this administration, all administrations, we ought to have some consistency in the utilization of those notes. And that's not to criticize Ms. Plant, who's articulating how the agency views this particular issue, but we'll see the debate, Senator Pappas, on your bill, for instance, just to use an example.
So, further discussions, esoteric or not, on Senate File 1982. Mr. Watson.
Esoteric.
Okay.
Technical. On Section 3, the reporting requirement, when the bill was introduced, the report was to be done one time by the Commissioner of Administration, and state and local government, I believe, it was changed to be an annual report. And the responsibility for reporting on line 221 was changed from administration to finance. And then a new paragraph was added on lines 3.15 and 16, the data reflecting one fiscal year or calendar year as determined by the Commissioner of Finance. But on line 313, the old reference to administration was left. Should that be finance? Then if it's going to be an annual report, I think perhaps it should be codified on line 2.20 before the head note. I'd suggest inserting 197.456. And in the absence of Senator Fredrickson, I'll point out on line 2.9, the such,
there we go,
might be a the.
Okay, Senator Higgins moves recommendations by council. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
And I'm not on state local anymore, but does this report really have to be done every year? Could we have it be done every couple of years or something like that? That would it goof up the whole thing?
Senator
Oh, Mr. Chairman, Senator Higgins, I think that to help us get a handle on the trend line and such, I'd like to leave it as 1 year, and if after a few years we decide it's one of those that doesn't need to be done, if things are stabilized or if things are fine, we could always change that. This year we did a lot of this mandate relief stuff. We did that exercise, and we did a lot of those kind of reviews about the reports and such. I'm sure there'll be an opportunity in the future to do that, but I'd like to keep it at 1 year until we get a handle on it.
Further discussion on the bill? Thoughts?
Oh, Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate File 1982 as amended. Be recommended.
Okay. And Senator Betzold's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Bullock, and thank you, Ms. Plant, for testimony. I'm going to go to Senator Berglund, Senate File 1504. Senator Berglund moves adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and members, the reason this bill is in the Finance Committee is because of Section 2. The rest of the bill is really just sort of a housekeeping bill in regard to the Mental Health Division within the Department of Human Services. But Section 2 deals with maintenance of effort for counties in regard to mental health. And the language that's here in the bill before you has been the work of the department, the counties, and the mental health advocates who all support this language. And it just allows for some simplification of the method by which the maintenance of effort is determined to take into account the most current information available to the department in terms of revenues and expenditures, and to take into account any major changes in state or federal block grants or other revenues that the maintenance of effort is tied to, and take into account possible population declines in a county. There are folks here that can help me answer questions if you have any.
So
And, Mr. Chairman, the reason that this is an important issue for us to get a Senate position on is because the House, in their tax bill, has a whole new mechanism for determining levies based on maintenance of effort, and they repeal the entire maintenance of effort laws. And I think there are some of us that feel pretty uncomfortable with that idea, but this is something, this is work that has been progressing through the Minnesota Senate, and I think we do feel comfortable with this.
And Senator Berglund, how does the language, for instance, the allocation of the revenues on a proportional basis, how's that, can you just hypothetically suggest how this is going to work in terms of?
Well, while we have someone come up to the table to help me, let me just say that one of the reasons that this is a more recent issue is because a couple of years ago we appropriated $34 million of new mental health monies. And much of that money was taking over responsibilities from the counties. And the idea was that we wanted the money to be new money. We didn't want it just to replace county revenues. We wanted new community-based mental health services to be available for the citizens of the state of Minnesota.
Mr. Chairman, John Zalkill from the Department of Human Services. Your question was regarding the page 2, line 31, allocation of revenues.
Yes.
That addresses a situation where a county may be getting revenues that are not specific to mental health. For example, the social services block grant can be used for a variety of purposes at the county's discretion. And this particular line just codifies our current practice, which is to allocate that revenue in proportion to the county's total expenditures that are eligible to be used for that particular revenue source.
Okay. So do you see a significant change in how, you know, those monies are handled, or?
I would call this tweaking.
Okay.
Is what I would call this. I would say that there has been a little ambiguity that's been raised by counties in regard to issues around population changes, revenue changes, what happens if the legislature cuts funding that has been used in the past to require maintenance of effort. Does our maintenance of effort go away then, or does some of it go away? I think those kind of issues are answered by this language.
So it's not as if you would anticipate that there'd be some wholesale change in revenues or expenditures for mental health purposes within a particular county?
No. I think if we were making wholesale changes, the mental health advocates would not have agreed to this, and the department would not have agreed to this.
Okay. Further questions for Senator Berglund?
And I would move that
Senator Foley, did you?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Is there a fiscal note for what's going on in this bill?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Foley, no. It's just because this deals with maintenance of effort for mental health services at the county level that the bill came to the Finance Committee. So I would move that Senate Bill 1504 as amended be recommended to pass.
Senator Berglund's motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just kind of skipping around, Senator Betzel, Senate File 1867. Senator Betzel moves adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair and members, this is a bill that came about from the administration and as a result of numerous studies.
we currently have something called the Land Management Information Center, which has been used over the years as sort of the way to have a sort of a GIS using technology to see what land we have around the state. However, in recent years, there's been sort of a desire to try to pull together numerous functions so that we can have a better way to not only just look at land on computers and from satellite views, but also to be able to use the information we have, particularly in emergency situations, the 35W bridge collapse, as an example. We may need to be able to pull together various functions of government in one place. And what this geospatial information office does would be to accomplish that. There's no cost to this bill. It's based because you're basically pulling together various existing functions to do that. I have David Arbeit here, who actually is from the administration, who can testify, you know, on the particulars of this. Mr. Chair, before we get going too further, Mr. Watson has called to my attention. We may need to make a change here, just because we used some old statutory language, and I'm trying to find where he wrote it down in red ink on my copy. Perhaps, Mr. Watson, could you? Oh, here it is. I found it. Right. Yes, on page 3 of the first engrossment, we'd used old language referring to a revolving fund in a couple of places, and the proper term should be revolving account. So if you look on page 3, line 5, page 3, line 6, and page 3, line 7, the term fund, F-U-N-D, should be accounts. Now, I don't know if that applies to the word funds at the end of 3.7. No, just so where it says revolving fund on page 3.5, revolving fund on 3.6, and the word fund, singular, on page 3.7 should be changed to accounts.
Mr. Chair,
I'll make.
So what about the next sentence? There are a bunch of funds in there.
No, the funds are the funds are the money, but where they go to is a revolving account,
okay.
Not a revolving fund.
Okay.
So we still have funds. It's just where they go, and that's what we're clarifying here. So, Mr. Chair, I would move to make those technical changes on page 3.5, 3.6, and 3.7.
And Senator Bessel's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
Mr. Ibart is here to answer any questions on the bill, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Ibart, is there anything you want to testify to? Or?
Only I'm here to answer questions. I don't need to testify if there are no questions.
Okay. Well, then I'll ask a question. I understand what's intended. I'm looking at the division reports versus the bill. Where you're setting up the advisory council and then the state government advisory council, what I'm wondering about is not the need or what can be done with it, but whether or not, given how it's been establish if there's a need for statutory language. I mean, for instance, with the state government geospatial advisory council, with 15 state government agencies, constitutional offices, can't the governor just say, let's do this?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm David Arbeit. I direct the Land Management Information Center. Mr. Chair and members, in answer to that question, actually, right now there is something, an advisory council that Land Management Information Center LIMIC supports and takes advice from, called the Minnesota Governor's Council on Geographic Information. It is established by executive order, has been established that way since 1991. Its function has been limited and by its members considered at least somewhat vulnerable because it is not established in legislation, and the stakeholder community would like to see the advisory structure established in legislation as proposed here.
Okay. All right. That's so. it's my inference that by providing the statutory structure, you have something that will survive from administration to administration.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, that would be the idea, that it is the office would be required to take advice from advisory councils rather than be, I guess, have the flexibility to ignore advice from the stakeholder community.
Okay. And at least insofar as the fiscal note is concerned, this is a little bit different from Senator Gerlach's bill, to the extent that this is an ongoing activity within the agencies right now, and you're just providing a governance structure for it. Is that a fair comment?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, actually, this provides for legislative direction, authority, responsibilities for the new office that doesn't currently exist in statute at all for the Land Management Information Center. The list of duties and responsibilities are identified in a consultant report that was derived really based on 3 and 4 years worth of assessment of what's really required. And there are responsibilities there that over the long term will require the office to seek ways to fund some additional activities that are really required. But we feel that strategically, based on priorities that the community has established, we can begin to do this with the current budget. So that's why there's no fiscal impact.
Okay, thank you. Further questions? Discussion. Senator Thompson, do you have any questions about this? Mm-hmm. Really not.
Mr. Senator Higgins had questions.
On Senator Thomasoni's behalf, Mr. Chair, even though I am sitting here looking at an email from a constituent saying, please pass this, can you define geospatial as opposed to land management or geographic or any of those other
sure.
words?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, the reason we asked is because we looked it up on the dictionary. And it said it does not exist. So, so now we have to ask what the geospatial
means. And Mr. Chair, several CNAs raised the same question, say, why can't you name it something else? So we've had that discussion a long time. Mm-hmm. So.
Why isn't spatial with a C instead of a T? That's not up to you.
Maybe he can go like Tennyson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins and Thomasoni, to go to the Land Management Information Center, actually, I'm going to, if it's okay with members of the committee, maybe staff can circulate a couple of little informational packets here that I think will address some of those questions. The Land Management Information Center was created in 1978 after a LCMR project that created something called the Land Management Information Center was built. Land Management Information System was built before a technology existed to actually map land. We were actually involved in helping to create that technology. That technology has come to be known as Geographic Information Systems, GIS. And the reality is that the Land Management Information Center has never had a land management role. So it's been an interesting 30 years since it was created, communicating to the public that what we do is provide GIS services and GIS coordination functions rather than manage land. That's partly why and largely why I think the name needs to change. Geospatial actually should be spelled with a T. I don't know where it appears. Because that's the terms. Spatial is spelled with a T.
If we could dig up Mr. Webster, we would ask him. Right?
Yeah. Geospatial, and in fact, that could just as easily be called Geographic Information Office. Geospatial is a term that has emerged in the last 5 or 6 years within the GIS community as a way to describe the, I guess, mix of integration of geographic with spatial, meaning having spatial relationships or being existing in not space in outer space, but having a spatial relationship. It could really make sense either way. If members of the committee feel that it would communicate better as geographic, that would be perfectly fine. Have I answered that question? I'm sorry. I think I did hear members of the committee and senators some question as to what it is, and in popular terms, think of MapQuest or Google Maps or Google Earth. That's geospatial technology.
Other questions for Mr. Arbeit or Senator Wetzel?
Mr. Chair, if there are no other questions, I'll move the Senate File 1867 as amended, be recommended to pass.
Senator Betzel's motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Arbeit. Thank you. Then, last but not least, Senator Tomassoni.
Or I think he's least.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Betzel.
On this particular bill, 702, there is no budget division report. The bill was approved.
Tell you what, if you could, Mr. Badger, I noticed you leaving. I don't know if this is your last appearance in front of
certainly the last
the committee, but congratulations on your new position. And would expect, as you did before, you'll do well in that position and come back in a few years as Commissioner of Administration. The next
third time for sure. Thank you very much.
So,
thank you, Mr. Chair. As I indicated, Senate File 702, there's no budget division report, although we did hear the bill in the budget division.
Yeah.
There was a proposed amendment that was adopted that we wanted to see the impact of the amendment, but since the we're done meeting for the year, the bill is traveling, I've concluded since then that the amendment is probably not needed, so I had asked that the bill just be brought to the full Finance Committee, but the underlying bill, we did not seem to have a problem with.
And Mr. Chairman, Senate File 702 is what it does is expands the current vacation donation program for state employees by allowing additional vacation hours to be donated to the program. And then the bill also provides that the program donations are retroactive to the point of where the approved recipient exhausts all form of paid leave. And then finally, the bill just expands the program to provide for consultation with the commissioner or commissioner's designee on behalf of the program applicant who has received an unfavorable determination. And essentially, this is just a little bit of an expansion of the vacation donation program. Everybody's okay with it. Doesn't cost anything, apparently. And it's one of the things it's trying to do is make up for a gap in when certain benefits are exhausted and when they can start receiving the new benefits. So I didn't have any opposition to the way the bill's written right now.
Sir Foley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Thompsonian, when you look at state employees, for instance, that there's all levels of employees as far as salary is concerned. You might have somebody that has a $20,000 job versus $100,000 job, and when you transfer those from one person to the next, you end up with a cost difference. Curious to know how you deal with that issue.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Foley, I don't deal with it at all, but I know they haven't figured it out.
what's your next question?
we have somebody who has an answer to the question because.
Again, for the record, I'm Judy Plant, Assistant Commissioner. All right, I'm going to just focus my bifocals here to get to the right point here.
The folks who do this program for us prepared some notes for me, and what they said was, the value of the donations are calculated based on the rate of pay of the donor multiplied by the number of hours, and the value is then placed in the individual's account. The issue is that we have an assortment of, it's true, we have people paid at different rates of pay across state government. Historically, though, the average of what has been donated has met the average of what has been needed by those people on vacation donation. So if you looked at a specific donation, it might not add up, but over time, the average of what's donated has met the average of what needs to be paid out in the vacation donation program. So without getting into extremely difficult math for a Saturday morning, that's the upshot of it.
And it is, Ms. Plant, do you have any idea how many people utilize this?
Let's see here. Is that the second sheet of paper, Kurt?
It's on it.
Okay, thank you. On average, at any given time, it's 30 to 40 people. Because it is focused on those with life-threatening illness, this is not hundreds at any point.
Mr. Chairman, there's no fiscal note on this.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Plant. It says that on average, 17 vacation donation applications are denied. Do you know what some of the reasons might be? Would it be what you just said? It's not a life-threatening illness?
Correct. There are times when...
There are criteria.
There are criteria, and there are times when either the specific illness does not qualify, or in some cases, people will apply without giving any documentation, and that's a rather major issue, obviously. So it's a pretty rare instance. I mean, 17 per year is not many.
Sir Betzel?
And just to clarify, it does come up periodically because you get some employee, you know, who, you know, is out because of a significant illness and people don't have vacation, and one of two things usually happens. Either the person recovers or dies. But when those happens, I mean, there's no way to recover the what's caught, and you couldn't reapportion it out anyway. I mean, once it's donated, it just goes up in some pool somewhere. So, I mean, you may donate your 40 hours, but you're not, I mean, how would you figure it out? You know, who gets what back? Is it first in, first out? Do you reapportion it? So once it's in, it's gone forever, regardless of what happens to the employee.
Senator Berlin.
Mr. Chairman, I support Senator Tomasoni's bill, and I know that these vacation donation programs are really, really important when someone needs an organ transplant, for example. It really sometimes wouldn't be possible for a person to be able to do that, to make the donation if they were not able to get this vacation time donated to them.
You know, I've been asking Mr. Watson about the history of this, and I think there are a couple of different bills. Because I recall having a bill that I chief authored on the floor that was for employee donation. And Mr. Watson pointed out former Senator Price had a bill, and there was an omnibus bill of Senator Flynn's. But what I do recall is, Senator Betzel, I don't know if you might remember this, I'm guessing you were here. The bill I had was fairly popular, with the exception of one person, and that was Senator Foley's predecessor, and he really disliked it.
And where he got that from?
Who was his predecessor?
Marius, Senator Marion.
Marion?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
And I remember on the floor with this bill that was going to pass unanimously, and Senator Marion went after it and after it. I said, and he sat right across from me. I said, this isn't a bill you want to be against. And boy, he didn't like that. So I can't remember, though. I think I would, because it was my bill, there have been a couple of different approaches to this. But I think it's worked well in these situations where I think we've had a situation like that in the Senate in the last several years. this has been quite helpful to people. So,
and Mr. Chairman, I have the. I'm not going to read this everybody, but I do have who the recipients can be and which employees may be available to apply for the program. And there's K through F as far as requirements are concerned, and several pages to get there. So I got a whole book on this if anybody wants to see it.
We should review that before we adopt.
Yeah. I'll get that to you right after. Okay. Okay.
Further discussion on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the Senate file 702 be recommended to pass.
Okay, on Senator Tomasoni's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Members, before we adjourn, we're going to meet, I think, Tuesday morning, 8:30, and we're going to have a relatively full agenda. We'll have, I believe, Senator Metzen's bill, which is a major bill. Senator Pappas, do you have a bill you'd like?
Trafficking.
Okay, well, and we're going to have probably the constitutional amendment bills, I would guess. Four bills. We'll probably do those Tuesday morning. So it'll be a busy, there'll be a couple other bills. It'll be a busy